The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. It would seem...
It's tough to compete with Megxit, Howard, I do agree. But I've got something that may come close.
All right.
And the thing that may come close is all about Uri Geller.
Ooh.
Now, this is fascinating because
yes.
Uri Geller apparently has applied for a job in the British government to be some sort of an advisor. And the reason that he advised that he's applied for this job is because apparently one of the most senior advisors to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, someone by the name of Dominic Cummings, apparently advertised government jobs for what he called assorted weirdos in a recent blog that he posted. And he complained that the civil service did not have enough genuine cognitive diversity. So, of course, spoon-bending hero Uri Geller writes to Dominique as follows. Dear Dom, he said, while many have doubted my abilities, my achievements cannot be dismissed as trickery or illusions. This is Uri Geller writing to Dominic Cummings. In my intelligence work, he said, I assisted with Operation Desert Storm, helped to locate secret tunnels in North Korea, and used my skills to erase crucial diplomatic discs on their way to Moscow. Perhaps you could have used my abilities in your dealings with Michel Barnier, of course, relating to the Brexit negotiations. And Uri Geller actually has claimed that he helped Boris Johnson win the election by giving his aides a spoon that was infused with positive energy. And apparently he would love to help the British government with their Brexit negotiations. So I wonder what the listeners think about that. Do you think that Uri Geller of spoon-bending fame could be a good advisor to Prime Minister Boris Johnson?
But
that's
actually,
my idea, isn't it?
He actually sounds like he's lost his mind completely, assuming he ever had it.
Anyway, that was a good way to try to
exactly.
get off the subject of Megxit for a moment.
Yeah, I think it did quite well. Absolutely. And let's talk about the other couple. And then, of course, is Trump and Netanyahu. They had a personal phone call overnight as well. What do we know about this conversation?
Not a great deal, to be honest. There was the office of the president and indeed of the prime minister both confirmed that there was a call overnight to discuss what they called critical issues connected to the region and relations between the countries. That's kind of where it was ended, where it ended in terms of what they spoke about, where that at least was publicly disclosed. But, you know, one could have a few guesses, right, as to what they might have been talking about, given that further missiles were directed towards the Green Zone in Baghdad, quite near to the U.S. embassy overnight. And the U.S. government really seems to be on the up and up at the moment, implementing new sanctions against Iran and publicly claiming that the Iranians have kind of stepped back from the brink. Which is the way that kind of President Trump sort of described things. So he feels that the Iranians sort of had an attempt to retaliate in a very kind of unmeaningful way, but in a way that at least would reduce their embarrassment, I suppose, after the death of Soleimani, and that they've kind of done what they're going to do. And therefore, the next step is really for the U.S. government to take. And of course, President Trump did that by implementing these new sanctions. Not that there's so many to implement anymore, because I think he'd kind of almost he'd almost used up all the possible sanctions that he could have implemented against the Iranian regime. So, you know, this is just another attempt by the Americans to, just to continue to humiliate the Iranians to whatever extent they're able to do so. And of course, the discussions between the US and Israel and between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu would most probably have addressed that issue, what kind of risk Israel might be at in terms of retaliation towards Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu was very gung-ho, threatening Iran that it would suffer an overwhelming blow, which is the way that he put it, if the Iranians or the Iranian proxy armies in the form of Hezbollah or in the form of Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Gaza would dare to try to attack Israel. And Netanyahu claimed that Israel would hit back very, very hard indeed. But I think the real point, the real point of interest out of all of this is not necessarily what we see in terms of retaliation, but what the Iranian regime is now doing within the context of the nuclear the nuclear weapon program that they've been trying to pursue for some years. And of course, they have tried to say over and over again that all bets are off the table and that they effectively would not adhere to the agreement in any form. They threatened the Europeans with that. The Europeans kind of just accepted it and moved on. But more statements have been made about the fact that the Iranians will now be attempting to move forward with this program even further. They will be enriching uranium to much higher levels and to greater quantities. And I think that that's really where the challenge lies, rather than this kind of symbolic firing of missiles, which really did very little damage indeed, and which is quite easy to defend against. The more difficult stuff is the thing that you don't see, that's not obvious to the naked eye, but going on down in the depths in the underground bunkers where the uranium is being enriched, and that potentially nuclear missiles are being produced. And I think that in the light of the events of the past week or two, the likelihood of nuclear missiles being developed has just increased dramatically. And so the question is, how do Israel and the United States respond to that situation? And my suspicion is that the discussion last night may well have centered around that issue.
If this de-escalates the way it looked like it was doing yesterday or late yesterday, then this would have been a tremendous victory for Donald Trump, because he would have shown that that there are no holy cows, so to speak, in Iran, and everybody is within his reach or within America's reach, and there's very little that anyone will even be able to do about it.
I think on the face of it, you're right. I think, however, that it's a much deeper issue. And as I've said before, the retaliation may come in an entirely more difficult and more unexpected and invisible way,
right,
at least to the general public. And so while Donald Trump may be, taking the plaudits now for the fact that Iran seems to be without any ideas as to how they might be able to retaliate against what has been a very serious public humiliation, I think, down in the dungeons, a lot of work is going on, and I don't think that we should celebrate quite yet that, the Iranians have no way of taking revenge for that particular action.
Yeah, really, really interesting. The Defense Ministry announced yesterday that Israel had developed an anti-missile laser to intercept incoming missiles. What more is known about this?
Well, this is a very dramatic announcement. And we had been expecting something like this for some time, particularly after the events of Operation Protective Edge, where we discovered that even though we've got this huge array of different anti-missile systems, some to counter short-range missiles, some to counter medium-range missiles, some to counter ballistic missiles, Israel's got this whole spectrum of different anti-missile systems, there was one weakness, one hole. And the weakness was the very, very, very short-range missiles in the form of mortars and anti-tank missiles that were simply fired across the border in real time. So you have almost no time to respond to it. Not like, for example, the missiles that we've seen, which Iron Dome is able to respond to, where even though the response is very, very quick, perhaps even milliseconds, but there is time, whether it even be 5 or 10 seconds, but there is time to respond. In the case of the mortars, it's very, very immediate indeed. Mm. And so some sort of a solution had to be developed, because a lot of damage was done by those very, very short-range missiles. And here we have it. It's this laser system that can apparently intercept any manner of aerial threat, which includes rockets, it includes mortars, it includes anti-tank guided missiles, and even includes action against drones that are being sent, because of course drones are the new real threat now in the activity that we've seen across the various borders. And this is called a laser sword, which will effectively be very flexible It will be something that you could either station in a permanent location. It's something that you could move around. You could have on the back of a vehicle and just activate it wherever needed. You could potentially even put it on an aerial vehicle, put it on an aeroplane or something like that, and use it from the sky in order to intercept missiles and to destroy missiles that might be coming in to threaten Israel and to threaten people within Israel. This is the culmination of research and development and activity that's been going apparently for the past 10 years. So it's not something that has just been developed overnight or even over the past 4 or 5 years since Operation Protective Edge, but it's something that's been in the development labs already for some time. And I think that this is a very substantial move forward, not only because it closes that gap that was obvious, but also because this is a very cheap way of developing anti-missile systems, whereas, for example, the Tamir missile, which is fired by the Iron Dome system, each missile that's fired costs in the order of about $50,000. So you can imagine that when you're trying to be very, very cautious and very conservative and fire two or three missiles in order to intercept one incoming missile that may or may not be loaded with explosive material, it could be a missile that would have cost the other side perhaps a few $100s in order to construct, but you have no way of determining whether it presents a real threat other than the fact that you know where this missile is going to land. But other, you know, but beyond that, you really have no idea of what's in the missile. And yet, you know, Israel is paying out, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars each time the Iron Dome is activated in order to defend Israel. Whereas now with this laser powered technology, all you need is an electricity supply and you're in business. It's super cheap. It's very effective. It's not quite ready for deployment. It will be tested during the course of this year, but this could potentially be the next step towards kind of a Star Wars scenario. And a very, very cheap and a super effective way of defending Israel against incoming missiles.
Amazing. Really, really incredible. What has been very disturbing, we don't have a lot of time, but the weather in Israel, the flooding, the images coming out of there, quite alarming in some places.
Yeah, unfortunately, still very, very bad weather, storms, a sandstorm followed by a rainstorm. The two kind of don't mix well together. It becomes quite muddy. Of course, very, very bad visibility on the highways. I saw a video clip of a dreadful accident on highway number 6 because of very, very poor visibility. Fortunately, people were not injured or killed, but there was a man who drowned while trying to rescue a family from a car that had become flooded in Nahariya. So unfortunately, the storms claim yet another death as a result of people having to take action to rescue others from flooded vehicles and flooded roads. More rain predicted over the next day or two, more inclement weather. You know, we do need the rain, absolutely. We need the water desperately. But unfortunately, the amount of rain that we've received has just been something that the flood water system has been unable to cope with. And so while we do want the rain, we certainly don't want it in these quantities all at once. Let's hope that we will get some rain, but in a kind of a more orderly manner over the weekend, and that things will come to a slightly more calm conclusion, while, of course, we're still getting all the water that we need to fill up our resources.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we will catch you on Monday. Hope you have a very peaceful and good weekend, and Shabbat Shalom.